And good morning. Welcome to County Edition here on 1590 KVGB, 95.5 FM, the talk of the town program. We get you up to date on everything going on in Barton County. Pleased to be joined today by Director of Barton 911, Dina Popp. Good to see you, stranger. Glad you're back in the studio here today. So
thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always fun when you're in here because we get to revisit a lot of things and see how staffing's going, things like that. So we'll go ahead and start with staffing today. If somebody needs a very good job, there's an opportunity for folks.
We are still hiring. I think when we met about this time last year, we were down to about half staff. That has gotten better, thank goodness. We do still have a couple positions open. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of good prospects that we're looking at, but we'll still take applications until we do have them all filled. Have two in training that are doing very well. Hope to have them off real soon. Training can take extensive amount of time. It can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. There is a lot to learn in this position. You know, we have to know all the officers and deputies we dispatch for, the EMS directors, the fire chiefs, how the record rotation works, how the beat system works for Great Bend Police Department, all of the systems that we utilize, CAD, radio, what we call Open Fox, which is where we get driver's license, car tags, connects to the state system, the certifications, the record rotations, the burn permit system that we utilize on behalf of the fire chiefs, municipal warrant entries, removals. So there's a lot to learn, and it's a pretty extensive training period, but hopefully these next couple we can get full staffed and move past that little dilemma.
I like the training aspect of it because here we get somebody new and it's kind of like, okay, well, there you go. We'll show you what button to hit, but it's kind of learn as you go, but you really can't do that in 911 for sure.
We cannot. I don't think the first responders in the field would like that very well.
Yeah, exactly. So what are you looking for with someone? What makes a good dispatcher?
Dedication to the job, flexibility in scheduling at times. There's overtime. You know, of course, people like to take vacation. We have a lot of staff that has families, several of them with small children that, you know, they get sick. And so flexibility, dedication, and the key trait of a dispatcher is be able to multitask at extreme levels. That's huge. There's just so many things that can happen at once. And, you know, just yesterday we had five accidents yesterday, and it was pretty intense at times. So there's a lot of stress that can occur, a lot of multitasking that has to occur in a very moment's notice.
Okay, so yesterday, kind of take me through this. Of course, we had the accident. It involved a activities bus. That's kind of scary right there. So kind of take me through the scenario of what you might be dealing with, something like that, and with the other things that are taking place at the same time.
Well, we get the 911 call, and oftentimes people, you know, that aren't from our area don't know where they're at. So they can't tell us where they're at to send units. We're very thankful for the rapid deploy mapping system that we have. It plots their location. It does take a few seconds, but we are able to plot the location, try to verify from there. But a lot of out-of-towners don't know our road names or anything like that to verify their location. So
right,
you send where the mapping plots, and usually it's pretty accurate.
And you can find people in a dust storm.
We can. We can. It doesn't affect the plotting on the map.
Yeah,
but, you know, yesterday was tough. In that area of that roadway, there was so much dust. First responders had trouble even getting up to the scene, not knowing where it was at. You have to just go real slow and be very cautious until you know you're there. Even then, I believe we had one of the deputies that had trouble getting out of his car because of wind and being able to even see where things were, if he had patience and how bad, you know, what the scene looked like.
Right. So that's one of the multitasking things you'll do. And we're coming up, and of course, we're in storm season now. What's that mean for 911, and what does it mean for a dispatcher going back to multitasking skills?
We will put out a storm warning over the radio to all local units. Again, that's a warning. We'll air it on a watch as well, but typically warnings are our priorities, just to tell them that, hey, heads up, it's coming. You know, be prepared. It can be crazy if it actually hits, though. Usually we have two on staff right now until we do get fully staffed and everyone trained. When weather hits, there is a notification that goes out to my staff that we are in a warning. They know that they're probably going to be needed. So a lot of them will just respond. The first person in will usually take the third position. The fourth person in will stay to the back and usually call utility companies, road crews, you know, things that are necessary because our screen will fill up. It will max out, and we just needed to make the notifications, get people notified, and move on down the line of other tasks that we need to complete.
Dina Pop with us, Spartan 911 director. So we'll get to some of that other storm stuff. I want to go back to what we're looking for right now in dispatchers and this training. How does that work? I mean, you just learn about everything, and then you kind of jump in there. You get somebody with you, and then finally you're ready to go.
We spend about a week on each system.
Okay.
And when I say a week, our weeks are 3 days, 1 week, 4 days the next. So it's not a full 7 day period because we are on 12 hour shifts. So we spend, you know, 3 days, 1 week, 4 days the next. Each one of those is a chapter. Each week's a new chapter. There is eight chapters because we do have to teach geography of Barton County. Some people don't know still the road names, avenues. They refer to it as
Skinny Cow Corner.
Skinny Cow Corner, okay, and I'm 2 miles west. And so I do teach still Skinny Cow Corner, Fuzzy Brewer Corner.
Okay,
I still teach those.
All right.
And we spend a day, usually about 10 hours out in the field, learning some of those things, getting the visual picture for new staff so they can learn geography of Barton County.
If this is something that people have thought about doing for a while, what do they need to do to get going here?
So the biggest things are no felonies. We can't have any felony convictions, no drug convictions. They frown higher up about domestic violence, and that is not at the county level. That is more at the state level for requirements to hire. And once we get through those, they take what we call a critical test. That critical test is a test of the abilities to multitask, to map read, to make decisions, to summarize, and several parts of that test are at a multitasking extreme level. So you have to have a minimum of 70% on that test. I would like to have it higher, but you do, you know, some people are very trainable. So if they're interested, contact us. We can go through those steps. Applications are available at the www.bartoncounty.org. That will go to the HR of Barton County. She'll forward me that information. I'll contact you as long as you clear the background check. Come in, take that test. A lot of times from that point, we will do the sit-in. Have them come sit in at least 4 hours. Usually that's a Friday or Saturday night. See if they think they can do the job, if they're still interested, and then we'll progress from there.
Okay, very good. Do you have training in talking calmly when everything is going crazy?
No. No, we don't train on that.
Okay.
But we do make it clear that we cannot be...
We've got a wreck out there. We've got a heart.
Yeah. It gets crazy sometimes. You know, sometimes it does. The voices do get raised when things get chaotic. But, you know, it's a learned trait, and that doesn't seem to be an issue to learn.
Yeah, okay. That's always been impressive to me. You know, they're always calm no matter what. Dina Pop with us here on County Edition on 1590 KVGB 95.5 FM. We'll have more coming up after this. Back on County Edition, Dina Pop with us, Barton County 911. Okay, we're talking about storm season, which we're in right now. Who knows? We may get something tonight, tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of possibilities for that. But you have a couple new resources for the public to check out, right?
We do. And yes, storm season is upon us. I think that there is a chance for some storms tonight or tomorrow night with some hail and possibility of tornadoes. So everybody be on alert for that. Watch your resources. For us, we now have a 911 Facebook page. It's Barton County Communications /911. There is also the Barton County Emergency Manager has a Facebook page now, and he posts all of his updates. That is Barton County Emergency Management on Facebook. And then the county page at Barton County KS. We try to post to all three of those whenever we get weather warnings, just to try to alert the public as much as possible to be prepared.
Okay. So that's available for people now. So
it is. All right. It is. Those are all Facebook sites. we want to remind the public that we test the tornado sirens on Tuesdays at noon unless there's inclement weather. They will not be sounded if there's inclement weather. Let me get my words out here. And the way that works is Barton County Communications is only the activation point. Barton County does not own the sirens. We do not do the maintenance on the sirens. That is up to each city. And there are a couple other entities that do that. Barton Community College, All Seasons. And so they are the owners of those sirens. And it's up to them if there are any repairs needed to do those. But we encourage the public, if you know of a siren not working, please let someone know so we can get those fixed. We want to make sure and try to educate the public or make them aware to prepare in inclement weather.
So when we do the Tuesday siren test, there's someone from those entities out there to make sure the thing's going off then, right?
There is. We typically ask law enforcement in each one of those cities. Ellenwood, Claflin, Hoisington, right. City of Great Bend. Do you want the sirens sounded? It is at their approval or their go ahead that we do activate those. It is not something that we have to do for every city. There could be that, you know, maybe Ellenwood says no and the rest of them say yes. We can do them individually.
Okay.
Or we can do them all at once.
Okay. When there's a warning issued for Barton County, is it specific? Just review this because Pawnee Rock is under a tornado warning, that doesn't mean that the sirens in Ellenwood will go off.
That's correct. We can do just the sirens in Pawnee Rock in that instance. So it can be individual. A lot of times we will rely on law enforcement to say, sound the sirens. Mm-hmm. It's bad in that area. And they'll tell us which area we'll sound them just for that area. So it is not a countywide activation.
Good.
If it is a live activation. We don't want to cry wolf to everybody if it's not going to affect them. But we are trying to warn the public to the best of our ability.
Okay. And is there like a big red button that when it's time to activate? I mean, what happens there?
So it's part of our built-in 800 megahertz radio system.
Okay.
It is pre-programmed pages. They are programmed. Each city is a new button. Or we do have one button that will activate everything countywide.
Okay.
Typically on the test days, we'll do the single one of all of them and inclusive.
Okay.
But we can hit them individually to sound it per city based off of where the path of the storm would go.
Okay. And then if you take spotters in the field, if they see something, or the National Weather Service?
The Weather Service will typically call us and say, this is what we're seeing on radar. Can you confirm it? What's the winds doing? Do you have hail? And then we will ask the responders on the radio what they're seeing out in the field, estimation of winds, if there's hail, how big is it? And we will report that back to the Weather Service.
Okay. So that can be a very busy time, and it is not the time to see and call in for to find out what the wind's blowing out at your house. Kind of talk about some of the calls you get during storm season.
We just want the public to be mindful that in severe weather, we do get very busy. Mm-hmm. So to call us because your power is out, please call the electric company. If you have a medical emergency, if you have lines sparking, please call us. But we want to reserve our phone lines as much as possible to those true emergencies, not just a power outage. We don't have any way to know when the power is going to be back on. We make the notification to the electric company, depending on which one it is. We'll notify them, and it's in their hands from there, and we step back from that situation to go on and handle other call volume.
There's been some times when we've had citywide power outages for a long period of time, and then some of these options, we're talking about Facebook. I mean, maybe if their phone is, they can use their phone, but any other access, that's kind of a time when you're probably really crazy down there at 911.
It does get crazy. And I'll tell you, one of the resources that I utilize when I'm on duty of weather is the Wheatland has a outage map on their website. Mm-hmm. And if you know that there's an outage, go and look on the Wheatland website. If you see a power outage in your area, then they know it. They're going to be working on it. We had that power outage just day before yesterday, I believe. Uh-huh. And that's what we went to. We couldn't get through either. When it's that massive of an outage, I think there was like 7,000 out of 9,000, somewhere along that line. They know it's out. And we couldn't even get through to them to say it's an outage, but they were on it. You know, they got it fixed.
Yeah, that's a great place to go because you're always wondering and people are looking out at their house. Hey, is your power? No, just you can go there. So that's if
we get a lot of calls.
Save it on your phone. Yeah. Is the best way. You can't go in there and get on your computer at home if you don't have power.
We get a lot of calls. When's the power coming back on? We have no idea. You know, that is nothing that we're privy to. It's just whenever the electric company can get it fixed.
Okay, this is neat. 911, you're out in the elementary schools here in Great Bend with school resource officer Ethan Thomas. We're going to be doing that here. First part of May. Tell me about this. This is a neat idea.
This is something that Officer Thomas, school resource officer for the city of Great Bend, approached us with a couple years ago. And he has a lesson on 911 and first responders. And he's asked us to join him on those days that he teaches those lessons. And so we have those scheduled for May 1, May 2, and May 3. We'll be out in all the elementary schools, either myself or one of my staff, teaching kindergartners in first grade of when to call 911, when not to call 911, and how we can still find you if you call 911 and don't talk to us.
Right. This is valuable.
It is valuable.
Some child or vendor, something happens to their mom or their dad or something like that. They need to know what to do.
It's always fun for us to get out in the schools and see the children and make sure that, they have that visual effect of a live person being able to do that job. They can ask questions to some degree. We're not there all day. They're just short lessons, but get questions answered. What about this? What about that? We provide them with some coloring pages, make sure they know their address and phone number, just educate them on anything that we can do to start that process of their learning appropriate 911 skills.
Yeah, that's going to be great. Coming on May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Dana Pop with us here, Martin County 911, and we'll have more coming up after this. Dana Pop with us here for a few more minutes. Okay, let's go to we're just going to go kind of cover everything that we've covered on the shows over the years. And first of all, difference between 911 and the administrative line and when you'd like people to use the administrative line instead of 911.
Administrative line would be more so of a not in progress emergency. If they would call the administrative line 793-1920, that allows us to prioritize true emergencies on a 911 line versus a non-emergency call. If we're on 911, we know we might let that ring an extra time or two to finish our 911 call and then go on to the non-emergency line.
When someone calls 911, what's the information that you need and why do people get frustrated because you need to get that information? That's a hard question. Why do people get frustrated? But anyway, what's the information they're going to need to provide?
We do get people that are frustrated. A lot of people think, well, it's none of your business. I just want to talk to an officer. And we understand that, but we have a job to do too. And our job is to get the first responder to that location, make sure that their safety is not jeopardized to the best of our ability, and to get what they're getting into. Is this a medical emergency? Is this a fire? Is this a law enforcement matter? Is it something in progress? Does anybody have any weapons? There's a lot of valuable information that those responders need. And if we don't get it, they'll ask us for it. And we either have to call that person back, or if we're still on the line, ask those questions. But it's valuable to the response of emergency services.
First thing you're going to ask is,
what's the location of your emergency?
Okay.
Always.
Skinny Cow Corner, a couple miles to the, and you guys might know that. What about medical conditions? Did dispatchers need to get that information so they can tell responders, right?
That's correct. We ask a lot of questions. So we as dispatchers are emergency medical dispatch certified. It's a three-day course or 24-hour course that we have to go to give medical instructions to callers. So we always want to know, the chief complaint. If you think they may be having a stroke, there's some drooping on the side. Okay, there's a couple of different, I think we call it the Cincinnati stroke scale. Put your arms out in front of you. Are your arms level? Smile, say phrases like early bird catches the worm. Is there drooping? Is there drooling? Is there any left-sided, right-sided weakness? Are they diabetic? Any heart history? Did they lose consciousness if they fall? Did they hit their head? Is there any bleeding? There's a lot of questions we ask, but responders rely on us to ask those questions so they know what they're getting into when they get on scene. I think it helps EMS personnel know which equipment they need to grab right off the bat when they get off the truck.
How long have you been doing 911?
I have been a Martin County employee. September will be 29 years. Four of that was not 911. It was with the sheriff's office. But a long time.
Okay. So why'd you get into 911?
Well, that's a funny story.
Okay.
My father was the record driver at Marmy's when I was about 18.
Okay.
And he would go jump in the tow truck at all times of the night and go on a record call. And if I was awake, then I would, hey, can I go with you? And back at the time, you could have passengers.
Yes.
Not so much now. But just responding to calls with him as a record driver. He always had his little radio with him or his scanner with him where he could hear everything. And it just became something that just interested me and progressed from there.
You remember your first calls or any of that, what it was like that first year? Was it nerve-wracking at all?
It's very nerve-wracking. There's a lot to learn. Yeah. It's very overwhelming. It can still be overwhelming today. You know, the accidents yesterday, for instance, we didn't realize it at the time. We were told about one accident, but apparently it was ended up being two accidents. It's always changing, and I think that's where the intriguing part of the job comes. It's not always the same. Things change a lot, you know, and it just keeps your motivation going, knowing that you're helping people. I have some amazing staff right now. You know, through our staffing crisis over the last year or so, we were down to seven people of 14. And those people were so committed, so dedicated, flexibility and scheduling to make sure we were always staffed with at least two dispatchers. So there's just a lot. You build that family. You get to know everybody in their personal lives. You get to know the public. You get to know your first responders. And once it's in your blood, it's in your blood.
The voices in the day and night. All in the building, the Southwestern Bell building or whatever, the AT&T building over there. Is that building still working good for you?
It is still working good for us. We became a consolidated PSAP, that meaning that we, back in the day, you called a 7-digit number to get emergency service personnel and you called the department. So you'd call the sheriff department or you'd call the police department or you'd call the fire department. So consolidated means everything comes through us now emergency service wise. That happened in 1989. That's when we moved into that building. AT&T builds their buildings as structurally sound as you possibly can get them. Our windows have a film on them that's supposed to withstand 90 mile an hour winds,
yeah,
of flying debris. So we don't even know it's storming half the time when we're at the office. We just rely on an outside camera to take a look and see. Otherwise, we have to walk out there and get the information. So it's very safe, I would say. It's probably one of the safest buildings that we could have in Barton County.
Dina, it's always a pleasure when you come over here. Thanks for everything you do. And, I'm glad to know McQuaid's still alive too. That's always good to know.
He's still with us.
The ghost, ghost that I never see anymore, but
he loves that night shift ghosting.
Yeah. I could see that. Yeah. The voice in the night, Tim McQuaid. Dina, thanks so much. That's County Edition today on 1590 KVGB 95.5 FM. Stay tuned. News coming up next.